Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We've been in a series on the call of God on, you know, here am I, send me. And we've been linking that into a relationship with the name of Jesus and how your call of God, your purpose of God, requires a intimacy with the Lord's name. And, you know, part of the scriptures that we went into, Jesus says, you're going to pray the Father. I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray in my name. Wow, that's confidence. That's power. And so it's the Lord who lays this foundation in us. And so we've got to pick it up and we've got to develop it. So let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you in prayer. And as we come in prayer with that name, Lord Jesus, we know you're right here with us to develop us and train us and to release revelation so that we can please the Father, that you would make crooked places straight so that we bear fruit. So, Father, right now, open up our ears to hear. We thank you that this is the year of the open ear, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're gonna kind of begin to take a little detour here. I just feel this in the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at apostolic truths for the local church. The Lord is always wanting to develop and to strengthen churches. He loves his body. Just like you love your little toe, he loves the church. He loves every part, the big church, the small church. There's not one church that's more important than the next, okay? He loves them all, just like you love your little toe. I mean, it's little, you don't think about it, but when you bump it, you think about it, but it's small. Now, let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 6. And for those of you that have been following, you know the foundation we've been laying, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of Jesus is a place that we abide in the Spirit. And because we know that name, then it says, because you know my name, I will lift you up. Meaning, I'm going to lift you above the attack, the problems. I'm going to deliver you out. So the importance of the name of Jesus. Now, let's begin to develop our understanding of the church by going into the book of Acts. And, you know, we've got this book that we have, the second edition. It's called The School of Acts. It's on our website. There's teaching for the modules. Now, what I'm going to teach out of today is coming out of the School of Acts, but a little different angle than the modules. So you want to go and you want to study the modules, and you can get that book very easy through the website. Just click on it. It will take you into Westbow Press. You can order it. You want to get it. You want to give it out to some of your friends. But we're going to look at some characteristics of the church moving, okay? As the church goes forward, there's movement in the church. And so let's just kind of study some of it and look at some truths and begin to develop, okay? So Acts chapter 6, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, what's happening here is the church is growing. It's thousands of people are coming to the Lord and being saved, coming into the body of Christ. Now, I want to take you back to something Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I phileo you. And Jesus said, well, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. And I want you to understand, at the very core of the heart of the Lord is feeding. taking the word of God and feeding his sheep. The Lord established the church as his body to be strong. At the very core of strength is what you eat, what you are fed. Peter, do you agape me? Peter says, well, you know, I phileo you. Jesus listens to him, and then he says, well, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And then he says it again, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, I phileo you. And he says, well, feed my sheep. Okay. Finally, Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you brotherly love me? Peter gets angry because in the Greek language, Peter knew that Jesus had dropped on the level of love from agape down to phileo. Peter knew what the Lord had said. When we read it in English, we have one word, love. But that's not how it operates. Jesus was going from the greatest level of love, agape, down now to phileo. Okay, you're not going to say that you agape me, but do you phileo me? And so Peter gets upset. The point that I'm trying to get to here is you have to enter into these callings of God because they affect people. You have to enter into it with the agape love of God. And that's what Jesus is putting pressure on you and me, is what love do you operate from? Now, in this sixth chapter of Acts, the church is growing, and with growth comes growing pains. The church is growing, and there are people coming in, and right now the church is a Jewish church. But in that land, there are two types of Jews, primarily. You have Hebrew Jews, Jews who are of the land, they're Hebrew, they're Jewish in culture, but then you have the Jews who are Greek in culture. Greece was a very powerful empire. Daniel talked about it. Daniel talked about Greece. Daniel talked about Rome. So as we're going into this, Rome was ruling, but the cultural influence of Greece was still so strong. In fact, the New Testament was written in Greek. So there were Jews who identified with Greek culture. Nicodemus, John chapter 3, has a very Greek name. In this cultural divide of Jews, even though they're Jews, there's a divide. The Hebrews, yeah, they weren't so loving towards who? The Greek Jews. They were a little bit lower. They weren't quite like us. And those Greek Jews, they probably knew that. They probably could feel that wall. And when you read the book of Acts, Acts doesn't really deal with the salt of walking in love and character. Acts mainly is light, how the light was moving forward into the nations with the gospel. So you have to go to the book of the epistles to begin to learn how do you deal with situations? How do you bring the character of the Lord into the church? How do you love each other? The book of Acts is not quite like that. The book of Acts kind of gives you the general picture and in how the church was moving forward. Now, in this divide, you have what's called neglect. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The greatest problem that churches find themselves in is usually neglect, where people feel neglected. And if you're a pastor and you're listening to this, I'm going to speak some things that I've seen over the years of being in large church ministry in Richmond, Virginia, where the church was growing 500, maybe 600 people per year for several years. We were thousands and thousands of members. But in that, how we began to turn the big church into a small church operation, and the flow of communication that we had wasn't really the congregation trying to communicate with the ministers, but the ministerial team had a flow of communication out into the body and how we set it up. And it was a lot of wisdom because love communicates. A family has to communicate with each other. And that was one of the core, I would say, keys to the success, is that with all that we were doing, people coming in, it was then the net that we had built of loving communication that kept things healthy and moving forward. Case in point, I think one of the keys that I saw was, you know, people would visit the church and the people greeting at the door were, they had already prayed and prayed and prayed that morning. And when they touched people's hands and shook their hands and said, "Welcome to church, you're so loved," and "Welcome home." And there was an impartation, there was love. And in all of our meetings, new member meetings, people said, "When I walked through the door, I just felt loved." Oh. And then once they decided to go through our new members class, everybody immediately got an application. And you have a place. You need to get involved. So we didn't let them, you know, just kind of wander away. We got people involved. And once they were involved and plugged in, we had different leadership teams that were overseeing departments and departments. And so I don't even know now how many departments that we had, but all the departments were broken up into different categories. And then we had supervisors over those categories. And every week, every department had to fill out a form letting us know what happened in their department that week, what workers showed up, who didn't show up, what happened, why didn't Sister Sally show up. And so on Monday morning, one of my jobs was to read through the reports. And when there were problems, Sister Sally couldn't show up because her uncle is in hospital and she has to look after him. Okay, so this is where the body gets into operation. We weren't waiting for Sister Sally to contact us. We knew that there was a problem based upon how we had structured the nets of the church. So assistant pastor makes a call. "Sister Sally, hey, we heard. And let me pray for you right now." And then once he would pray, then the note goes to our hospital visitation team, which sometimes included me or other staff pastors. Or then it went to also, we had a hospital team too. But then there was a hospitality team that would make food and send it to Sister Sally saying, "I know you're busy and we just want you to know we're standing with you. And here's some food. I know you're busy. You don't have time to cook." And so this body was now taking these departments, making them little churches with supervisors over them. And the key church staff were also involved. And it made the big church a small church and a loving church, because there was true care for the body. And one reason why we grew the way we did, there were several reasons, is that Uncle Bob or whoever was in the hospital that Sister Sally was taking care of was so shocked at the love of the church that she went to. He's like, "Maybe I need to go to that church too. Never saw a church like that." And all it was people loving people and figuring out how to be a safety net. Not intrusive, not controlling, but just to love. Love people, contact people. And so to make sure that neglect was not coming in and controlling the body, okay? Now, having said that, now I've got quite a bit of experience of ministry in different forms, different fashions. I've been in churches where, you know, I visit a church, trying to go to a church, and I realize the pastoral team really is a clique. And they're good people, wonderful people. But there wasn't a concern for the people. We were gone for 6 months. Nobody ever called us. Nobody ever said, hey, haven't seen you. Haven't received your tithe check. There was no care. 6 months later, I finally get a text. Not even a call, a text. And we're talking about a church of under 100 people. So you can see the difference between the large church functioning as a small church, getting rid of the neglect, to the small church, small congregation, full of neglect. Now, I grew up on a farm, and my job was feeding horses and cleaning stalls, cleaning out the stalls. So I was surrounded by a lot of manure. But at night when I would feed the horses, put them in their stalls, you know, if a horse didn't show up, we had six horses, you know, at times eight, sometimes four, depends on, you know, where we were. They were my mom's horses. They weren't mine. If a horse didn't show up, I didn't just say, well, you know, six months from now, I'm going to text the horse and find out where that horse is. No. I began looking that night. All of a sudden, I realized this horse is gone. I haven't seen this horse. I've got to find out with love, you know, and you go, look. Now, that's a horse. The church is not a horse. It's people. And I remember I was in a church in One Nation because we were missionaries. You know, you're there to perform your ministry, but you also, we're believers in the local church. I grew up like that. I grew up with a mom and dad that were faithful and believed in the local church and put that very deep in us. And we have that understanding. The local church is crucial. However many problems there could be in the local church, it's still loved by Jesus and it's still important to God. Well, I was in a service and the pastor makes a comment that, you know, Eric and Beth, they're strong and we really don't need to worry about them or even be considered about them because they're strong, they're in ministry. And then I realized, there's no relationship, no contact here. They kind of stay away from us. And I just thought, you know, I bring my tithes and my offerings and I worship the Lord at these altars. Why am I disqualified from pastoral care or pastoral love? And this is the problem. The church belongs to Jesus. And he doesn't ask us who he can bring to church and who he can't. He doesn't ask us what we think. He asks us to what? Love me. Do you agape me? Or the British would say agape. Do you love me? Then I want you to feed. And in feeding, you care. And every farmer, when you go to feed your animals, that's when you look at them. You know, they're busy eating, but you're kind of assessing them. Are there cuts? Are there limps? Is something wrong here? Why? So that you can get the vet involved and bring healing or you know, whatever. And so the feeding process is when a farmer is looking over the sheep and assessing them. The church belongs to Jesus, and in the book of Revelation, he said, not I didn't say it, he said it, that he walks into those churches because they're his. They're not a private business. They don't belong to a family. They belong to him. He calls people to serve him. And if he's going to walk in the midst, then the key for the servants, the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, is not to walk in the way or to get in the way of the Lord. I think the thing that I'm trying to stress here is the local body belongs to Jesus. It is his. It's established by him. It belongs to him. And he is going to walk in it. The key of the pastor, the person maybe pioneering a church, has to understand if this is the Lord, then he's involved out in front of you. It really isn't on your shoulder. He's going to bring everything together. You just follow him and don't get in his way because it belongs to him. He loves the church. And he's going to set people into the church. He said he does. It's his. It's completely his. As pastoral teams, or the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, we're called into these arenas to feed according to the measure and the grace that he gives. It's his body. It's his church. And so I'm here listening to this pastor talk about how Eric and Beth are strong and we're not even concerned or thinking about them. And I'm like, well, wow. When did I cease being a member of the body of Christ? And when did I cease having the Lord who loves us, because we do bring our offerings and we worship him at the altars, which in return brings finances for the pastoral priests of that church to live. When were we negated from pastoral love? We weren't. Never were. And that kind of mentality blocks the love of the Lord. Well, Eric and Beth are strong. No. No, we're humans. We're people. We're members of the body of Christ. And just because you view yourself one way, when you put the title pastor on, it's bigger than you. It has grace that's bigger than you. It's more powerful than you. And it's not about what you think about people in your church. You're anointed by the Lord to follow him and to administer grace. As you do, you grow in that grace. You learn a lot. You're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's true. We all do. But the Lord is good. And so the endeavoring is to love the Lord with agape, and then to love his body and feed it. No matter what you think about it, you're there to feed. And the Lord, don't get in the way of the Lord. Let him walk, because he's the one who straightens the problems out. He's the one that confronts sin. He's the one using the leadership, okay, to feed. And so it all depends on where you see yourself in this ministry. If you're out in front of the Lord and you're doing this for him, well, you're going to get tired and it's not going to work as good as it could. It's his. And so in this podcast, as we meditate on the name of the Lord and the calling, we're now going to get into these examples in the New Testament. And today we looked at neglect. Neglect happens because we get things out of line and we want to put things into line so that the Lord can walk into the call of God in our midst. And though we kind of are talking about the local church, it also applies to the evangelist, to the prophet, to the apostle, because these are his callings. All right, let's pause there. We're going to pick up with the next podcast on the same title, same, and we're just going to keep moseying through Acts, and it's going to get exciting. So today we talked about neglect. Neglect is the key problem the churches face, okay? Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for them. Until next time, this is Eric Casto. God bless you. Bye-bye.